Hello, welcome to Locked On Marlins Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Peter Pratt. Greetings from England. UK flavor on Locked On Marlins every day, Monday to Friday, as we know, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for taking the time to join me. As I mentioned yesterday, we are going in on center field. We're going all in. We are going to be talking about every possible option that the Marlins may and do have. There's probably some I'm completely missing, but even so, the list is long. There's internal options. There's free agent options. There's trade options. Actually, there's not that many free agent options, which is half the battle now that Starling Marte is no longer available. So we're going to be spending a lot of time deep diving on some of the guys, just looking at some of the numbers, the contract positions, the contract situations of these dudes. Who's available? What are the teams up to? Are they in tank mode? Are they trying to win now? What does it all mean? Piecing it all together. And in reality, this is going to be a two-part episode. It's going to be today and tomorrow breaking it down. Two-parter on center field options. So, without further ado, let's get into it. First of all, the background. Why do the Marlins need a center fielder? I've talked about it on two podcasts already. I've only done seven. Starling Marte was not re-signed. Hashtag pay Marte did not happen. The Mets went out. $78 million, 4 years for Marte. The Marlins unfortunately played the whole situation wrong. However, they did get Jesus Luzardo back, and that should not be forgotten. The Marlins still did have an asset. But the answer to center field was already in the organization. It was already here. I'm not sure Luzardo was the answer to, you know, to the rotation, the bullpen. Who knows what the answer of Luzardo is, but for me in general, the center field piece is the one that it's going to be most valuable to try and fill in the next couple of months, however long it may be. So, where does that leave us? Marte is signed with the Mets. Where does that leave the Marlins and what options exist? I've kind of bracketed a few different tiers together of outfielders and center fielders. We've got in-house options. And we're going to get into those. I think there's perhaps three. Maybe there may be more, but there's three obvious candidates for right now that are in-house. So we're going to run through them. Also, we've got, I would describe them as elite center fielders with multiple years of control. And there, you know, we're going to know the names. You've then got guys that are effectively prospects, and then other guys that are probably on teams that are looking to win right now, and so trading away from their major league roster may not be the approach they look to take, but if they're looking for pitching to supplement what they've got right now and help them push them over, maybe some of these guys are in the mix. But in general, what I'd say right now is, the free agent options look limited. They are limited. Marte was the option. Chris Taylor, perhaps, but Marte was the only option. So, it's either internal or it's trade season. And I think, based on the rumors that were knocking around, the Marlins, I think, were working heavily on a trade in advance of the lockout. And so, they ran out of time. They didn't get a deal done. But there is something in the works. Craig Mish is alluding to it. We know Craig has got his finger on the pulse. If he's saying there's a big deal in the mix, then absolutely there will be a big deal in the mix. Obviously, they mentioned in the Herald that Schwarber was of interest, for sure. Castellanos, of interest, but too expensive. But those guys are not going to be playing center field, hopefully, for anyone. But, okay, so what does that leave us then? What are the options? Let's start right at the top of the list. And really, when you dig into it, Cedric Mullins and Brian Reynolds were, aside from Marte, Marte was the best center fielder last year, but Cedric Mullins and Brian Reynolds were both right up there with Marte, top 20 players in the league overall. So these are elite dudes. So I look at both of these. The interesting part with both of these guys is both the Orioles and the Pirates, and I'm not an expert on either of the Orioles or the Pirates, but the outside looking in, their window is still some way away. So that is an interesting aspect for both of these guys. They both have 4 years of control remaining. So you get 4 years whichever way you go if the Marlins decide to go this way. And both, and this is the other thing we're going to be looking at, both have had over 1,000 innings at center field in 2021. So Mullins and Reynolds, both legit center fielders. They've played there and have been playing there for both of their clubs right now. Both of their clubs, in my opinion, are the window's not yet opening, near to opening. So that kind of brings in the opportunity of a trade right now where they maybe look to cash in on some of these dudes. So Cedric Mullins, let's maybe start there. And however way you strip, however you want to slice and dice 2021, Cedric Mullins was sensational in 2021. 30 bombs, under 20% K rate, 878 OPS. I mean, absolutely stunning season. Stolen bases galore as well. So you get the speed, the power, OPS, the lowish strike rates. Legit center fielder, tons of control, 4 years of control. I mean, there is a lot to like in Cedric Mullins. You know, the Marlins absolutely should be having these conversations, and they absolutely will be having these conversations. What are the risks with Cedric Mullins? What's the main risk? For me, what sticks in my mind is it sustainable? Is this a flash in the pan? Will he be able to sustain this level of production? You know, is this now Cedric Mullins forever? Not forever, but you know what I'm saying. So that for me is the risk. It hasn't been sustained success for Cedric Mullins, but when you look at the production in 21, the innings at center field, it's power, speed, glove, contact, K rate's low, 4 years of control, on an Orioles team that is some way away and needs pitching. For me, this makes so much sense. Clearly, the discussion will be around the price tag. Clearly. So I don't think there's masses of risk baked into Cedric Mullins. I think he is probably option A or 1A, however you want to phrase it. I see him... Ooh, I mean, I don't know how I rate them. I mean, maybe Reynolds slightly over Mullins, but I think I like Mullins over Reynolds, if I'm honest. So I guess that's up for the, you know, for the scouts to get into in terms of which guy you prefer. But I absolutely love Mullins. And the Orioles and Marlins have made some trades in the past few years. So there's history, positive vibes from trades. VR came across, Blyer came across to the Marlins. The Marlins have been kind of picking at the Orioles for the last couple of years and adding pieces that have been valuable. Cedric Mullins would absolutely be the main guy thus far. But I think that is the main holdup, is the price tag on someone like Mullins. The Orioles clearly are, you know, looking at this guy and will be asking for a huge package. Clearly, a huge package. And I guess it's for the Marlins to consider, is it worth it? And that's what it's going to come down to. The haggling, you know, will be immense, I think, on that one. You flip it over to Reynolds, and what do you get with Reynolds? In reality, you get a lot of the same. Like, OPS over 900, slightly higher average, 24 bombs, so maybe the power isn't, you know, as much. K rate, again, under 20%. So, you know, listen, you're getting a legit dude. He's over 1,000 or 1,100 innings in center field in 21, so hasn't got the speed. Hasn't got Mullins' speed, so Mullins definitely has the leg up there. But also 4 years of control, 3 years of arbitration remaining after this one. So 4 years galore for these guys. I mean, you're splitting hairs here, but Mullins has a little bit more speed. In reality, maybe a little bit more contact, gap power or so from Reynolds. But either way, however you slice it, these are two elite dudes. And again, the Marlins and Pirates, clearly, as we saw last week, they're talking. The lines of communications are open. So, you know, wait, how do you see it? How do you, you know, could this happen? It's going to be the same conversation with the Pirates. Again, I think They're in exactly the same position as the Orioles. These guys, it's in exactly the same position. 4 years of control for a top 25 dude, a top three center fielder, top four center fielder in the league. I know Mike Trout still is a top center fielder, but you know, struggling with health. But listen, he's a top three, four at their position. 4 years of control, absolutely what the Marlins like. Team window is not yet open for these either, so a trade makes sense if they can absolutely add in some pieces for when their window will perhaps appear. So Mullins and Reynolds are 1A, 1B. How do you see it? Let me know how you guys see this one. Who would you prefer? A lot have said about Reynolds. I've seen a lot of love for Mullins too. So it's real close. So they're the two, what I would describe as elite trade packages with multiple years, you know, 3+ years of control on teams that aren't contending right now. And I think it's a good time to hit the pause button and let you guys know about our good friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online has got you covered for all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues to roll and march to the playoffs, fins up. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, that's locked on, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right up to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And then before we get back to the action, also want to tell you about our friends over at DirecTV. Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It's DirecTV Stream. Brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. Best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Woo! There you go, baby. USA ads with a UK twist. Let's get back to the action. And let's get into the next tier of guys that I want to talk about. Either way, going back to the previous segment, Mullins and Reynolds, I don't think the Marlins can go wrong. It is absolutely an upgrade on anything that's available internally right now. Legit center fielders, multiple years of control. They're going to require a serious package to acquire. So, if the Marlins don't want to go down that path. They don't want to give away 4 or 5 of the top 8 prospects or whatever it may be, including Amaya, Ida, maybe Uri Perez. What are the other options? What are the lower cost options prospect-wise that maybe the Marlins want to consider? So let's get into Ketel Marte. I have seen a lot of buzz about Marte, Ketel, I mean. I put it out there on Twitter yesterday, you know, who do you see starting in center field for the Marlins 2022, whenever that may be? The name Ketel Marte was a constant. A lot of love for Ketel Marte. A lot of people liking what they see from Ketel. And really, I think that there's a couple of reasons why. Firstly, his 2019 season, all-star season in 2019, it was stunning. 32 bombs, almost, well, over a 980 OPS. So it was a huge year for Ketel Marte, and one where he just absolutely arrived. He arrived. He'd always been okay as a player, but this was a new Ketel Marte. And what have we seen since? We obviously had a shortened season after that, and then in 2021. Also, you know, listen, the average was good, OPS good. You know, missed some time, you know, 360 or so plate appearances. Also, going back to what I mentioned earlier on, center field innings, in 2021. Ketel Marte, 567 innings at center field. So he's played there. He can play the position. He isn't great. It isn't, I guess, Starling Marte levels of defense. It isn't. It's a downgrade on that side. But listen, a lot of the other traits are, you know, perhaps similar to Starling Marte. I don't think Marte, you know, has got 30 plus home runs in his locker. So there's a bit more power there from Marte. But absolutely. And here's the kicker. Here's why Marlins fans are getting excited. And this is, for me, the key criteria of when you're going to, you know, who you want to acquire. Do you want a rental or do you want someone to kind of plug in for the next however many years, 4 or 5? Ketel Marte, 3 years remaining on his current deal of just around about $22 million through age 30. So 3 years of control for $22 million for a former All-Star and someone that absolutely can play the position and give you a massive offensive upgrade. I think you get... Ketel is one of the highest upside, I guess, offensive center fielders knocking around. And equally, he's done it before. He has done it before. And for me, yes, shortened season and health kicked in 21. But there was no drop-off. Going back to Cedric Mullins, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Is this real? Are you for real, Cedric Mullins? Wait and see. We're going to have to find out. Ketel Marte, I think we know it's real. But, you know, you only get 3 years of control. And the defense is nowhere near as good. He's an average, probably below average center fielder in reality and in the grand scheme. So, Ketel Marte I like. And I know Aram Layton wrote an article yesterday and put it out there on Twitter about different trade packages and options and landing spots for Ketel Marte. Mentioned the Marlins in that, clearly. Makes a lot of sense for the Marlins. The money works for the Marlins. The control works. Proven guy. Makes a lot of sense. Again, the team, the window. The window isn't open for the Diamondbacks. They're selling in the main, or they're still building. Is Ketel Marte part of that? I'm not sure. What do they need? They need some arms. So, you know, like the other guys, both Ketel, Cedric, and Brian Reynolds, all three of them, 3+ years of control on teams that aren't contending with proven major league production and defense and innings at center field. How do you guys see it? Which one of those three would you prefer? Let me know. Let me know where you'd lean in. For me, if it was my decision on those three, which one of them three? I think I'd go Mullins. I think I'd take Mullins. And I'd probably have Reynolds as two and Marte three. That's my 1, 2, 3 in order of preference. But either way, if the Marlins go out and get either of these three, it's going to be a stunning move. It is going to be a blockbuster. And the Marlins farm is going to be depleted. Absolutely no doubt about that. So there's another guy that I just want to get into next before we get into some other maybe longer shot guys, but Max Kepler. I think Max Kepler as well is a really intriguing guy and fits into this tier of proven major league guy. Played center field. 3 years or more of control. He's got three, by the way. And also has history of delivering at the major league level. Max Kepler absolutely does. When I look at his major league innings at center field, he's had over 1,000 innings. No errors. No errors from Kepler at center field. He's had errors playing in the corners. Not that many, but no errors in over 1,000 innings at center field for Max Kepler. So, to me, it looks like he can play the position. What else are we seeing? 3 years of control for just around about $25 million. That includes a $10 million club option in year three. So, you know, if you trade for Kepler and things go sideways, you're actually not on the hook for the total $25 million. Not to say that's what the Marlins would be wishing for, but there's a way to get out of $10 million. I think there's a buyout maybe of $1 million. So you get, you know, $9 million saving in year three if things go sideways with Kepler and it falls off. So, you know, for me, you know, he is an intriguing option. Really intriguing. Where are the Twins at? Where are the Twins at right now? I think they are in, or they've already showed their hand in some ways, but the Twins are on the cusp of selling, if not already selling. They've obviously just re-signed Buxton. So, you know, what are the Twins going to do? It's really, it's an intriguing spot. With that being said, is Kepler expendable? Are they going to try and cash in on a Kepler now, as well as a Mitch Garver? That was all the talk. You know, Sean Barrett, obviously, who's from Fish Across the Pond and joined me last week. Kepler was someone that was on his radar. Having spent some time looking at it, I can absolutely see why. Control, money, experience at center field. In 2019, Max Kepler hit 36 home runs. 36 bombs from Kepler. Over an 850 OPS. So, again, proven power with control. Sign me up. I'm happy with Kepler as well. Absolutely makes a lot of sense. What do you guys think? You worried about Kepler? He had a bit of a down year in 2021, but no problem. Perfect for the Marlins. Perfect buying conditions, perhaps. Is Kepler dropping off? Has it disappeared now? I guess that's what you need to weigh up. But at the same time, is the cost lower? Can you acquire him at a lower cost than perhaps some of the top three guys we've already mentioned? Really intrigued to see how you guys rank these. I think I like Kepler too. It makes a lot of sense. Maybe a rebuilding team, you know, done it before. Looks okay in center field. Can do it for sure. Legit power. Need power in Lone Depot. It's Max Kepler. No problem for me either. So that's Kepler. Reynolds, Mullins, Marte, Kepler. Really intriguing names there. And before we wrap this up, there's one other name that I want to get into in part one of the center field options. And it's Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger. Put the teaser out there earlier on Twitter. You know, could the Marlins inquire on Bellinger? Is Bellinger available? Where are the Dodgers up to with Bellinger? What do they want to do? 2 years of control remaining, including the current one. $16 million he's earning this year. So, you know, clearly his arbitration number is pumped up by the fact that he has had some incredible seasons previously. 2021 was absolutely not one of them years. Absolutely not. Only 10 bombs, under 600 OPS for Bellinger. He was absolutely terrible. He was absolutely terrible. He logged 675 innings in center field, though. So he has the versatility. He's playing first base when Muncy went down. So you get center field, you get, you know, probably the corners, you get first base, 2 years of control, former MVP production level. So lot to like there in Bellinger. The question will be is, what's happened with Bellinger? Where are the Dodgers up to? What we know is the Marlins and Dodgers, again, you know, talking about it earlier with the Orioles and the Pirates, and I guess, and the Diamondbacks in the past few years, there's history. There's recent trade history between the Dodgers and the Marlins. Clearly, you know, Dylan Floro just recently, last offseason, was traded from the Dodgers. Kim Ang clearly knows her way around the Dodgers, as does Don Mattingly. So I think it's a really interesting hookup. Will they make the call? I don't know. Craig Mish, if you're listening, let me know. Am I way off the mark on this one? Probably. I was just kind of spitballing it, but I thought, listen, proven production, has played in center field, 2 years of control on a down year in 2021. Can you buy low on Cody Bellinger? I recall when the JT Realmuto trade was being talked about. The Dodgers were in on Realmuto, by all accounts. And I believe one of the names mooted in those discussions was Cody Bellinger. So, I mean, and obviously he popped soon after that, and you know the Dodgers did well to retain him. But you know, is it now the right time for them to maybe move on from Bellinger? Does he need a change of scenery? I don't know. I'd love to hear from any Dodgers fans that are listening. I mean, that's probably wishful thinking, the Dodgers listening to a daily Marlins podcast, but I'm going to try and dig into that. I have a few Dodger friends. I want to get the sense of where Bellinger is up to, where they're up to, what they're hearing. Is he available, firstly? You know, is Bellinger an option for the Marlins? And let me know, guys, what do you think? Should the Marlins explore it? For me, absolutely explore it. Looking on Twitter, you know, the trade machine's firing up. Bellinger has like a one value in the trade machine. Like, he almost has no value in trades at the moment, which is wild to think. So, would you be upset if Cody Bellinger was starting in center field for the Marlins in 22? I absolutely wouldn't be. I wouldn't. 2 years of control. Okay, $16 million. It's on the higher end that Marlins want to go to. But if he's healthy, and I remember going into the last offseason, he had these shoulder issues that were reoccurring. Now, can they get him fit? Can they get him healthy? What is the problem? Is it health? Are the Dodgers looking to get a bounce back out of him? I don't know. I really don't. But it's worth exploring. It's worth the phone call. Irrespective, I think it would be a really interesting upgrade for the Marlins. So that's going to wrap it up for episode or part one, my apologies, of the center field options available. We've been through Mullins. We've been through Reynolds. We've been through Kettle Marte. We've also spent time on Max Kepler and Cody Bellinger. What have they all got? Control, experience in center field, and previous history of serious offensive production. Any one of them five, I think absolutely are upgrades for the Marlins. So tune in tomorrow, guys, and we will finish things off. There are some really intriguing names as well. Some more prospect kind of names that we've already heard about. Also, some kind of left field, but center field, if that makes sense, options that maybe we haven't talked about at all. And of course, some internal options. Who internally could start in center field right now if the Marlins decide to not do anything to address this, well, obvious need. So that's going to wrap it up for Tuesday, guys. I appreciate everyone hopping on and joining me on Locked On Marlins. And I apologize. I've been late with these episodes the last 2 days. I've got no heating in the house. It's the middle of winter. I have no heating. So I've been working from a different location. So that means that I'm having to record them later than I would have ideally liked. So that is Locked On Marlins signing out. Thank you for making Locked On Marlins your first listen every day, every week. If you want to make Locked On Bets your second listen, it's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. That's Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q. Expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. That's it, guys. Locked On Marlins, Tuesday edition, signing out. Join me again on Wednesday for part two of the center field discussion with at least another six names to get into. Until then, stay safe.